Blog Talk Radio.
And all access
football inclusive. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the NFL Draft Bibles Draft Digest Show. It is February 3rd. I'd like to welcome you back to our show. I'm your host, Daniel Moglione, and we are talking NFL Draft as always, as we do every week. This is another All-Star Special show, but we will be taking a look back at the Senior Bowl last week and see how some of those players performed in the game. Last Thursday, we did a great job of breaking down the practices and everything that went on during the week with our guys, Joe Everett and Bull Marchant, who are on location. This week, we're going to talk to the Reverend Ralph Mancini, who's going to help us break down the Senior Bowl game. Also, later on, we will have Justin Van Fulpen, who's part of the NFLPA Game Selection Committee. He will be on with us to talk a little bit about the NFLPA game, which is going to be held this Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern time, formerly the Texas First Nation game. Some very interesting and top prospects in that one as well. Don't forget to go to NFLDraftBible.com for all your latest draft news, which includes the official measurements of the players in the NFLPA game, the NFL Scouting Combine official list, our Draft Bible big boards, updated on Sunday, offense and defense. And don't forget to go to All-Star Game Central, where we have all the All-Star Game news that you need, including columns like Mr. Mancini scouting for the Senior Bowl quarterbacks, our money makers, fakers, and shakers, an exclusive with Jerry Jones, who chatted with our Bo Marchant there at the Senior Bowl. If you haven't checked that one out, check that one out, as well as Patrick Peterson, who gave us some exclusive coverage while he was there at the Senior Bowl, including the official heights and weights from there. Practice recap from every day, and this number is not inflated. This is the correct number, 37 podcasts from the Senior Bowl, you know, with top prospects like Ryan Kerrigan of Purdue, Vaughn Miller of Texas A&M, Gabe Creamy of Wisconsin, Leonard Hankerson of Miami, who had a fabulous game, Christian Ponder, who really helped himself with his performance, winning the game MVP, DeMarco Murray, Jake Locker, Derek Sherrod, another potential first-round pick. So check that out, 37 podcasts from last week. You can get that at NFLDraftBible.com. Just click on All-Star Game Central, and you will find all that information. And joining us now is the Reverend Ralph Mancini, who wrote about the quarterbacks last week. You can check out his column there, Scouts Notebook, Scouting the Quarterbacks. And we're going to start there. Reverend, thanks a lot for joining us. How's it going today?
It's going great. How's it going with you, Dan?
I'm doing pretty good, Ralph. You know, we're really getting into the heart of the season, you know, particularly now. You know, there was no NFL game last week. I personally don't count the Pro Bowl as an official game when you have offensive linemen basically holding hand with each other. So the only real football game last week was the Senior Bowl. So it definitely feels like draft season is in full effect.
Yeah, it's my favorite time of the year because, you know, this is the time of year where you get to see a lot of these, you know, no-name guys or small school guys emerge to the forefront, and you get to see them a lot of times, how they do against the best and the brightest that college football has to offer. So even guys from, you know, smaller schools, you know, like a guy that you mentioned before, Phil Taylor from Baylor, you know, a guy like that has a chance to really see where he measures or how effective he is against, you know, some of the best college football players in the nation.
Yeah, I know he's one of the guys you like, Reverend. But let's start with the quarterback position. And let's start with my guy. I touted him last week on the show as I was happy when I saw he was getting better as the week went on. And Joe Everett's practice reports, I told Joe Christian Ponder is the guy I like the most. And I was happy to see that he did well. And I know you said he prospered in Mobile. Rev, not necessarily the measurables type guy. When you stack him up against some of the juniors, whether it be, you know, Newton's sheer size and athleticism, or, you know, Ryan Mallett's cannon arm, he might not measure up with the, you know, in terms of the pure measurables, but talk to us a little bit about what Ponder does bring to the table in terms of being a potential NFL starter.
You know, what I think is a lot of people shortchange him by calling him a West Coast quarterback because he doesn't have that cannon arm. But, you know, what he does do is He's got that great quick release, and he holds that ball up high, so he doesn't have that potential of fumbling the ball. And the thing that impressed me the most about him is he did something that the other quarterbacks didn't do during the game on Saturday, and that is he looked off safeties. He went to his secondary and tertiary receivers. And to me, the fact that he's got the quick release, he's got great mechanics, and he also knows when to tuck the ball when there's nothing open downfield, and he will run with it. And that's the one thing that maybe worries me a little bit about him is his durability, but we can get to that later. But, you know, when you take all those things and you put them together, I think he's the most NFL-ready out of all those quarterbacks that were down there in Mobile. I mean, he's got the instincts, you know. He's got the release. He does things quickly. He sees things quickly, which is something that the other quarterbacks, quite frankly, didn't show.
Yeah, right. I mean, I got to agree with you 100%. I'll take it even a step further. I think he's the most NFL-ready quarterback in this draft, regardless of whether, you know, people were at that game or not. He definitely seems to have the cerebral part of the game down in terms of reading defenses, understanding what's going on. I think he brings he's great with all the intangibles. You know, he's a good leader. It shouldn't be surprising considering the kid draft, you know, finished school in about 2.5 years. I believe he's on his second master's. So, you know, he brings a lot to the table in addition to what he actually does on the field. And as you mentioned, the one real legitimate concern is the fact that, you know, he does get injured. When I spoke to him in New York, when he was in New York in December, that was one of the things he talked about in terms of being a big goal for him heading into this season was staying healthy, and that's something that he wasn't able to do. And he's a gutsy kid. He gives it a shot. You know, he went out there against South Carolina in the bowl game and gave it all he could, but, you know, you could tell he was not healthy there, and you know, it was great for him to be able to bounce back. And I just want to throw out there, if people do go to All-Star Game Central, you can listen to the Senior Bowl podcast with Christian Ponder. And if you go to Player Podcast homepage, you can find that interview as well as the on-location interview I did with him in New York. So we actually have two podcast interviews that you can listen to with Mr. Christian Ponder. Very well-spoken and bright kid. Rev, let's move on to the guy that people thought was going to be the best quarterback in this group, particularly when the season started. That's Mr. Jake Locker, and I guess he's Mr. Tom Petty this year out of the Senior Bowl because he's free-falling in your mind. And once again, I agree with your analysis. And the most concerning thing here is he's a kid that's played a lot of games, yet we're still saying he's kind of raw. He's got a lot of physical tools, but he's not very polished. Well, when is he going to get polished?
Well, you know, you can make the argument that he didn't play in a very good offense. I mean, he didn't have any great weapons at the wide receiver position over there out in Washington, and he certainly didn't have a good offensive line. And then when you combine that with the fact that he was banged up during the season, you know, you could obviously make a case for him, you know, if you're trying to defend him in any way. But, you know, this was his chance in the Senior Bowl to show everybody that when he is surrounded by talented guys, that, you know, he can elevate above, you know, the rest of the group, you know, in terms of the other quarterbacks that were there. And he just, quite frankly, didn't do that. I mean, yeah, he's got a great arm, and he did make some impressive throws, and he made some of those throws on the run as well. But, you know, the thing is that the instincts just aren't there. When the guy is rushed or when the guy is in the pocket, he's just not accurate. You know, you could take all his strength, you could take his mobility, you could take his size, you could take all of that, and you could flush it down the toilet when the quarterback does not get the ball where he needs to get it, where he needs to put it, and that's in between the numbers. He had a problem hitting receivers where he needed to put the football, and without that accuracy, he's just not ready for the next level. You know, he doesn't look like a pocket passer yet. To me, he looks like an athlete that, you know, goes outside, makes plays on the outside, can make a nice run here and there, or make a few, you know, nice passes on the run here and there, but is he going to be able to consistently put up or put together good throws during the course of a 60-minute game. And right now, no, I don't think he does that. And the other thing that worried me about him also is the way he holds the ball. He actually fumbled the ball twice in that game. So he's got some issues, too, with ball protection as well.
River, let me ask you about both of these guys. I didn't ask you about Ponder, but let me throw it out for either one. Do you think either one of these guys will be a first-round pick come April?
I think Ponder will be. And if I'm a GM of a team that needs a quarterback and I'm looking at Jake Locker, there's no way I'm taking him in the first round. To me, I put him in the same category as Colin Kaepernick. I think both Locker and Kaepernick are more third-round picks, whereas Ponder, to me, is a first-round pick, along with Blaine Gabbert.
And Rev, I just want to throw out there, too, you know, there's nothing really to do with the game, but I know a lot of people knock Locker for coming back, and they say he made a really big mistake. And, you know, I kind of feel like I want to clarify this to some extent. I mean, I don't think we know for sure he would have been a first-round pick. I should say even the number one overall pick, which a lot of people seem to be kind of assuming a fact and evidence that really isn't a proven fact. You know, had he declared as a junior, he would have been the first quarterback taken or the number one pick ahead of Sam Bradford. I'm not really sold on that. And let's not forget, you know, at this point last year, a lot of people were telling us Jimmy Clausen was going to be a top 10 pick, and that didn't pan out, you know, by the time the draft rolled around. So, you know, I don't think, even if he goes in the second round, I don't think Locker necessarily made a mistake by coming back for his senior year, but he certainly didn't really help his stock by his play during the season or in the Senior Bowl week. Let's see what he does in the combine and the pro day. I got a feeling he's got a chance to do a pretty good combine. You're listening to the Draft Digest, our All-Star Special. I'm your host, Daniel Moguillon. With me on the line is NFL Draft Bible Senior Writer, the Reverend Ralph Mancini. If you have a question, feel free to jump in the chat room. I'm in there. If you want to call in, the number is 1-347-945-6275. That's 347-945-6275. We'd love to hear from you or answer any questions you may have. All right, Rev, those are kind of the two big, you know, the big two going in. Those are the guys who had that first-round potential going into this game. Let's break down some of these other quarterbacks, and let's start with a guy you brought up already, and that's Colin Kaepernick out of Nevada. And you compared him to Locker in the sense that they both have very impressive physical skills, and you were impressed by Kaepernick's arm strength that he showed in the game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think he had the best arm out of all those quarterbacks down in Mobile. But what really bothers me about him, actually a couple of things, is number one, his very thin build. I mean, the guy is 6'6 and like, what, 215? I mean, that's very light. And so, you know, you take a look at those little rail, you know, toothpick-like legs of his, and, you know, first of all, physically, I don't think he's ready for the NFL. He's going to have to bulk up or get on some weight program once he does enter the pro ranks. But the other thing, in terms of him, you know, just playing the position, I saw many occasions where he just bailed out of the pocket way too quickly. When he didn't see his first option open, he just tucked the ball in and he ran with it. And you really can't do that in the NFL, especially when you're a Colin Kaepernick, who is 6'6 and about 215. I mean, if he tries that in the pros, he'll get broken in two. And then the other thing that would worry me a little bit about him, again, getting back to the physical part of things, is he's a very long guy. He's a very angular, very long guy. He's got very long arms. I believe he's got 34-inch arms. And that's not necessarily a good thing when you're a quarterback, because the longer the arm, the longer the delivery. And so those defensive players in the NFL, they'll time you, and they'll, you know, they'll disrupt and they'll block a lot of your passes when you've got that long delivery. So those are some of the things that worry me about him. But he does have the arm, and if somebody's willing to invest 2 or 3 years with this guy, or maybe even less, maybe even just a year, I think he does have the tools to be a decent quarterback, but he's definitely not ready right now.
And it's interesting here. I know with Ryan Mallett, we're, you know, there's questions, are, is he too tall now with Colin Kaepernick? Could he be too long? Reverend, where do you think Kaepernick is going to end up slotting in the draft in terms of rounds?
I think he could go as high as the second round. I definitely don't think he's a first-round pick. I could see him going as high as the second round, but I think he goes no lower than the third round, just because there's so many teams out there that need quarterbacks.
And, you know, you think he's definitely one of those guys. He's in that group that he's got starting quarterback potential in the NFL.
Yeah, down the road, I think he does have starting quarterback potential. But, again, he's got a lot of work to do physically and both in the way that he plays the position.
All right, and a very different quarterback from both Kaepernick and Locker is the kid from Iowa, Ricky Stanzi, who basically seems to have a continuation of his college career where he kind of goes in peaks and valleys, and you see, you know, moments of brilliance where he looks like a, you know, he looks like an NFL dropback passer, steps into his throw, rockets the ball in, and then other times he just seems to kind of be whizzing the ball all over the place, and the ball flutters a little bit. So basically, you know, what did you take from Stanzi's performance? Stock up, stock down, stock even?
I think that stock has gone up a little bit just because he is a pro-style passer. He does have good size. He does have decent arm strength. So I think that, you know, for instance, if you're comparing him to Colin Kaepernick, I think Ricky Stanzi will be able to step in a lot sooner and, you know, and maybe, you know, even help the team for a few weeks, you know, if the starter goes down, he can come in and do some things and produce. But the thing that bothers me about Ricky Stanzi is that he shows no consistency. You know, as you said, he will make a nice throw here and there, but then, you know, especially on long passes, he tends to throw these hangers, these floaters up there that, you know, the defensive backs can break on and intercept. And then he also showed me some inconsistencies in some of the shorter throws that he offered. And you know, he was inaccurate. He underthrew receivers on shorter throws as well. But he does have good pocket presence. He does avoid pressure. He is big. He is athletic enough to play the position. But again, he's not consistent. So, you know, if you put him in as your starter right now and you expect him to give you a quality game for 60 minutes, I just don't know if he can provide that right now. I view him down the road as a solid backup. I don't think he has starter tools. I think he's definitely an NFL quarterback, but I don't think he's ever going to be a quality starter. I don't see it. I could see him going maybe in the fourth or fifth round, and he could have a good career in the NFL.
All right, fair enough. Interesting analysis on Ricky Stanzi, and you also pointed out accurately that, you know, he did make major strides from his junior to senior year in terms of his touchdown to interception ratio. Ironically, it didn't help the Hawkeyes. They actually lost four more games than they did when he was throwing a lot of picks. But, you know, that's basically what he did this season. You're listening to the NFL Draft Digest with Daniel Moglione. With us on the line is the Reverend Ralph Mancini. We're going over his analysis on the Senior Bowl quarterbacks. Two more here, Rev, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I kind of lump these two guys together, Greg McElroy, Andy Dalton, kind of solid game-managing type college quarterbacks, I think with, you know, not really NFL prototypical size. I think they both kind of lack the arm strength you're looking for. So, you know, in my opinion, these guys are kind of more borderline draft picks and definitely career backups at the best. What do you think with Mr. McElroy from Alabama first and then Dalton from TCU?
Well, you know, McElroy, you know, obviously he's a smart guy. You know, he is accurate on a lot of the shorter throws. But, you know, I just don't see him as the type of quarterback that's going to be able to consistently put the ball into tight windows. He just doesn't have that arm to do that, in my opinion. I think, but because of his cerebral attributes, I think that, you know, down the road, I think he can be, you know, a third-string clipboard holder, maybe a second-string guy, but nothing better than that. As far as Dalton goes, I might like him a little bit better, but not by much. I mean, I think he has probably a little bit better of an arm, But again, you know, here's a guy that stares down his receivers. His footwork needs a lot of work. Needs a lot of refinement, and he doesn't have a great arm either. It's a decent arm, but not a great arm. So I think his upside is limited as well. I like Dalton a little bit better, but not by much.
So, sorry, Rev. If you had to pick between those two and I asked you which guy had a little more upside, sounds like you would lean towards Dalton, even though you're not necessarily in love with him.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we're talking to the Reverend Ralph Mancini, breaking down the Senior Bowl. Great job there, Rev, breaking down those quarterbacks. Before we let you go, let's dive into some of the other guys at other positions. I know two guys that you liked what they did in the game and throughout the week on offense. I'm going to throw two guys at you that basically I think really helped themselves a lot, not just in the Senior Bowl, but really throughout the season. And first, let's start with Louisville guy, running back Bilal Powell, who really, I think, you know, was not a name in the forefront when the season started among senior running backs, but had a very good senior campaign, and I think helped himself a lot. And you're telling us that he continued to help himself with his play in the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, here's a guy that, you know, going into senior week, I really didn't expect a ton out of him. But even throughout the game, they just kept feeding him the ball, and he just consistently pounded out the yards, a solid north-south runner. You know, there's nothing really fancy about him, nothing exotic about him, but he does have some good burst on the inside, and I think that he could be a sustaining runner at the next level.
All right, and, you know, while you were not necessarily that high on Andy Dalton, you seem to favor his teammate and his partner there, somebody that caught a lot of his passes, that's wide receiver and return specialist Jeremy Curley.
Yeah, you know, Curley, in addition to being an outstanding return man, I just saw some things from him that really amazed me. Number one, his route running, you know, he gets in and out of his breaks very quickly. He's got that start and stop ability that really confuses a lot of defensive backs. He had one play where he faked it to the outside, he cut back in, and he totally fooled Joe Lefege out of Rutgers, and he cut back inside, and he caught a 23-yard touchdown pass from Christian Ponder. You know, the thing in the NFL when it comes to wide receivers, I think, you know, more than looking at straight line speed, I consider the ability to get in and out of your breaks quickly more important than straight line speed. And this guy's got that. You know, he is quick. He can cut, and he's just explosive. It's all about making explosive plays. You know, the average play in the NFL lasts, what, anywhere between 7 and 10 seconds? You got to be explosive out there, and this kid can do that.
Hey, Rev, let me ask you, do you think, where do you kind of see him? What kind of role do you think he'll have at the next level? Do you think he's got the upside to develop into a starting receiver, or do you see him more as that number three kind of slot guy?
I think he's got some upside to be a number two receiver. I think most teams will probably view him as a number three guy, but I think he is talented enough to be a number two receiver. And as I mentioned before, he's got elite return skills as well, which gives him added value.
All right, now there's three guys along the defensive line that I want to pick your brain about. And let's start with the guy who's rated the highest, and that's Cameron Jordan, the defensive end out of Cal. You know, last year we saw a defensive end out of Cal shock everybody and go 10th overall. Where do you think Cameron Jordan might end up? Do you think he's got that kind of potential? And what kind of defensive style do you think he'll fit in best? Is he strictly a 3-4 guy, or can he play a little 4-3 as well?
You know, I think Cameron Jordan is a very versatile guy, and I think that's what gives him some added value. You know, I could see him, you know, in certain packages playing inside as a defensive tackle. I could see him playing outside as a defensive end, you know, especially in a 4-3, he's very versatile, in my opinion. I love the guy, how, you know, he stayed low. He's got a good bull rush. He's got tremendous hand speed. And he's very big, he's very long, and he's a good kid off the field as well. You know, character for me counts, and this guy's got it. So to me, I think the sky's the limit for this guy just because he is so big, he is so versatile, he is so powerful.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with so many teams playing the 3-4, you know, over the last year or two, a lot of teams switched over, so they're still looking to fit in pieces. And Jordan, I think, is the ideal kind of guy. He's got the size, and he's even quicker than your typical 3-4 end. So I think he can give you some pass rushing ability. Interesting prospect there. And he gives you experience. He's already played that 5 technique position, so he's not coming in raw and moving over from defensive tackle, which, you know, typically those guys end up doing. And another guy who could be a fit in a 3-4 defense is a guy you mentioned earlier in the show from Baylor, the big boy Phil Taylor, former Penn State Lion, had some off-the-field issues, struggled a little bit when he got to Baylor, but, you know, came out strong with a strong senior season and has continued that with an excellent week of the Senior Bowl. A lot of people raving there about his performance. Could be the top nose tackle maybe in this draft.
Yeah, he's a very interesting prospect because the naysayers are going to tell you that while he had his off-the-field issues, he was dismissed from Penn State, and he does have a tendency to put on a lot of weight. As a matter of fact, he did have to lose 20 pounds in the off-season to really reach his potential as he did this past season as a senior. But, you know, the bottom line is, you take a look at this guy's size. He's 340 pounds, and he pursues plays laterally. I mean, they're just not a lot of guys out there that can move the way he does at that size. So I think that alone makes him a very valued commodity. I mean, he's big, he's strong, he has quick hands, he's very quick off the snap, he overpowers people. I mean, you talk about a nose tackle, you know, I think this guy, and they're not a lot, and usually in these drafts, you know, there are not a lot of guys that could play that position. And I think he's one of them, and the sky's the limit for him because, I mean, he's only really shown this for 1 year, so you would have to think that if he gets in better shape and if he improves his technique even more, I mean, this guy can certainly get even better at the next level.
Because it's such a unique position to fill and such a difficult position to fill, and there's a lot of teams, you know, just off the top of the head, you know, the Jets and the Bills and the AFC East could use a nose man. There's so many teams out there looking for this kind of guy. Do you think that could vault him maybe into the latter portion of the first half? Of the first round?
Yes, I think you know, a team like the Jets, for instance, that's picking at the tail end of that first round, I think if he's there, they're going to have to give a serious look to him because, I mean, let's face it, I mean, they got a guy like Chris Jenkins who gets hurt every year, and they really need somebody to develop over there. I mean, Sione Puha is, you know, a decent player, but to me, he's just an average lineman. I think you bring in a guy like Taylor, that's going to allow you to groom somebody behind Jenkins, who probably only has about a year or two left in the NFL anyway. So, yeah, I think that would make a lot of sense for a team like the Jets to pick him up at the end of that first round.
Another guy in the interior line that I know you've liked for a while is Sione Puha from Stanford. Talk about his performance in the game on Saturday.
Well, you know, the guy was just he was just nonstop, just overpowering people. I mean, the guy's got an incredible motor for somebody who's over 300 pounds. You know, he held his ground, not only held his ground on running plays, but he also just beat up guys in front of him. He's got this big jarring punch that he uses to knock guys backwards, knock them sideways. And really, there wasn't really anybody that can block this guy one-on-one. You know, guys like Chris O'Dowd and Bowling out of Georgia. I mean, all of these guys, or DeMarcus Love out of Arkansas, all of these guys had problems staying with this guy. He was just overpowering everybody. He's got a low center of gravity, so he's got good technique as well. So to me, you know, here's a guy that, I mean, I think he also has the potential to play the nose tackle position. He might not be as big as Phil Taylor, But in my opinion, I mean, this guy, when you combine his motor, his physical raw strength, his hand skills, and the way he plays low, he's got that low center of gravity, I think that, you know, here's another guy that could potentially be a nose tackle at the next level.
And staying in the Pac-10, Rev, Brooks Reed, college defensive end, definitely undersized for somebody that's going to, you know, that would play on the line of scrimmage, but a lot of people view him as a potential outside linebacker in the NFL, most likely in a 3-4 scheme. Is he somebody you think that has that athletic ability that could go from playing with his hand on the ground to playing in a, you know, two-point stance?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the way he was going around some quality tackles, it was very impressive. There was one play where he just ran circles around Anthony Costanzo. He's got good burst around the edge. He put a nice swim move on another blocker, forcing Jake Locker to overthrow the ball on a skinny post. And he's got some moves, you know. He's not just a one-trick pony. He spins. He's got rip moves. And he does a decent job versus the run. So, in my opinion, yeah, is he a little small right now? Can he pack down a few pounds? Absolutely. But, you know, this guy, but to me, this guy is intense. And he's got a full repertoire of pass rushing moves from what I can see. And I like his potential at the next level.
Similar type player, much more highly thought of prospect, is Von Miller out of Texas A&M, somebody that, you know, has played mostly defensive end in his career, but this season played a lot of outside linebackers, so he gained some critical experience playing that position, playing with his hand off the ground. Rough start to his season with injuries, but then really came on strong. I mean, when they had their big upset over Oklahoma, he was just all over the place making plays in the Sooners' backfield. And he apparently had a big game as well. I know he had two tackles for a loss, won an award for one of the top defensive players in the game. Talk to us a little bit about Von Miller. I mean, he's somebody that was always viewed as a first-round pick, but could he be even, you know, more on the rise and be a top-10 guy?
Well, here's the thing. In the NFL, there are so many defenses that are looking for that outside pass rusher. You know, you talk about the Jets at the end of the first round, and there's no way Miller's going to fall that low. But, you know, you even take a look at a couple of teams in the top 10. You know, a team like Buffalo, a team like San Francisco. I mean, those are two teams right there that can use somebody with Miller's characteristics. And I think this kid is terrific. I think he's definitely a top 10 pick. He can easily be a top 5 pick, in my opinion. Because of his speed, the way he just has no wasted movement, no false steps. He's very explosive. And he also reads plays as well. You know, here's a guy that he tracks down quarterbacks. It's hard. You know, the one thing that worries me a little bit about him is the fact that, you know, he is a little bit on the small side. He's maybe about... they list him at about 240. I don't even know if he's that big. He's maybe about 6'2", 235 maybe, somewhere in that range. So, you know, he's a guy that's going to have to get by in his speed, I think, more than just taking on big tackles one-on-one. But, you know, his speed and his athleticism, his agility, his ability to get around the corner, and his ankles. I mean, I think this guy's ankles are just like made out of rubber the way he gets around the corner. I mean, he's a guy that's hard to stop. He's all over the place. He'll go sideline to sideline if he has to. He makes plays against the run. I mean, the guy is just a dynamite, explosive player whose potential is just through the roof.
All right, Rev, thanks a lot for joining us and giving us some time breaking down that Senior Bowl. Can't wait to talk about these guys again with you as this draft process continues.
No doubt. All right, Dan, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, Reverend. And that's the Reverend Ralph Mancini, senior writer for NFLDraftBible.com. Don't forget, go to NFLDraftBible.com, click on All-Star Game Central. You can get all your All-Star news. Last week from the Senior Bowl, we have the Reverend scouting the Senior Bowl quarterbacks. We have Money Makers, Shakers, and Fakers. Christian Ponder named the MVP, and a couple exclusive interviews Beaumarchand was able to chat with Mr. Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, at Senior Bowl. Click on that, read that, check it out, see what he has to say about his liking for senior players as opposed to underclassmen when it comes to the draft process, as well as an underclassman, Patrick Peterson, who was there making the rounds at the Senior Bowl talking to NFL teams. We had an exclusive interview with him as well. Check out the podcast, 37 podcasts on location from the Senior Bowl. And now the next big All-Star game is the NFLPA game, and that is going to be on this Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern. And I know he's got a busy week, so I really want to thank him for finding some time to come on the show. And that is Justin Van Falken, who's part of the selection committee. He works for the NFLPA game. Justin, how's it going there in Texas, and thanks for joining us.
Good, besides being cold.
You guys are complaining, too. It can't be as bad as the weather we've had here, right?
No. Well, you know, we had to pull in practice, you know, as far as indoors in the Alamo Dome today because, you know, last 2 days we were outside and, you know, in you know, single-digit type weather here down in San Antonio. So first couple days we had some decent weather. The last couple days it's been bad.
That's amazing. It's crazy how the weather's just hitting the nation all around, and it's even affecting the NFLPA game. And, Justin, before we even get to the game, I just want to throw out there, people can go to NFLPA.game, NFLPAgame.com to find out more information. I forgot it off the top of my head. You guys also have a Twitter account. Is that right?
Correct. Yep, it's Texas, Texas First Nation.
So it's Twitter.com/TexasVsNation. The game is on Saturday, 2 o'clock. You can catch it on CBS Sports. On your cable or satellite network. Justin, let me ask you, you know, you've been there all week. You were part of the process getting the guys there. We're a couple days into the practices now. The game is about, you know, less than 48 hours away. What's been the big buzz this week in terms of what you've seen and heard?
Well, I think as far as some of these, you know, these under-the-radar type guys that, you know, had been added, whether it's been, you know, kind of late or late in the process, like Roberto Davis from Northwest Missouri State. A lot of people, a no-name coming into this week, has really helped himself kind of get on all the NFL scouts' radars just with his quick first step and, you know, burst to the ball. A guy like J.T. Thomas, the outside linebacker from West Virginia, really has helped himself this week with his ability to drop in coverage, be able to, you know, as far as his ability to translate from as far as his, you know, backpedal to, you know, attacking the ball carrier there out there. And some of the receivers, Ricardo Lockett showed, you know, as far as an upgrade from the HBCU game, and really showed that he's been able to work and as far as be able to run, you know, more routes. And, you know, today on special teams, he was able to kind of break a double team and kind of go, you know, straight down and use his 4-3 speed to really, you know, create havoc on special, you know, on special teams there. And we haven't really lost anybody. You know, Jameer Lattimore from for Middle Tennessee State, he had to leave today because of a family emergency with his grandmother. Niles Brinkley, the cornerback, you know, just kind of tweaked a groin, so he left. And also Kurt Porter will not be playing because of a leg injury as well. So we haven't lost as many, you know, guys down here. I think everybody's, you know, played, you know, well, and we had over 200 you know, scouts, you know, down here at the NFL, you know, PA game. So really, I think as far as we've been able to show, you know, more scouts in the East-West Shrine game, and, you know, and the players have you know, enjoyed everything besides the, you know, the cold weather. Everybody thought that they were coming, you know, trying to get out of some of these areas with, you know, kind of our cold area to get down here to San Antonio, where it's normally, you know, 70 degrees at this time, where we're battling the weather like we're in New York or something.
Yeah, or Michigan for that matter. And we're talking to Justin Van Falken here on the Draft Digest show. If you want to ask a question about the NFLPA game, feel free. I'm in the chat room. Drop me a line in the chat room, and I'll throw it Justin's way. If you want to call in, the number is 347-945-6275. Justin, I just want to, you know, ask you about a couple of guys in particular. Let's start with Darrell Johnson-Culianos, the wide receiver out of Iowa. One, how has he looked on the field? And two, what's their word with him off the field? Obviously, you know, he had the drug arrest, and what's the vibe you're getting there from the scouts and the teams, and how much more important do you think that is than even what he does on the field?
Well, I think, you know, he's been able to meet with, you know, all the NFL teams down here, kind of give his, you know, side of the story. Also, as far as, you know, it's come out that he's, you know, all the charges were dropped. You know, the only thing he's been charged with a misdemeanor possession standpoint there. So that's a good thing. You know, I think, you know, DJK, as he goes by, you know, he's a good, you know, good, you know, character, good-hearted type guy who's made some bad decisions. And a guy who, you know, who's put in the work, you know, in the, you know, far as the weigh-in there on Tuesday morning, one of the guys who was put together well, you know, didn't look like he had an ounce of fat on him, looked like he's been, you know, training hard and getting, you know, ready for this process, as well as, you know, kind of down the road in regards to trying to figure out where he's going to be able to have his pro day at that there. But, you know, a lot of scouts, you know, are concerned with the off-the-field issue, but, you know, then you've got the other handful of, you know, scouts who see his talent. I know that this guy is probably going to drop in the draft because of the character concern. So a lot of people, you know, think maybe they can get him late in the draft or possibly as an undrafted rookie free agent and get a, you know, a third-round type talent that he would have been if he did not, you know, far as have the off-the-field issue. So he's been an interesting prospect, an interesting guy to kind of watch and see, you know, the interaction with the NFL scouts and what they've, you know, thought of him throughout this week.
Yeah, he's definitely a name that, to me, popped out when you guys got him there for the game. I thought it was a good get, and from what I'm hearing, he's looking good in practice in terms of his ability to catch the ball. As we know, led the Hawkeyes in receiving all 4 years there. And do you think there's a chance he could end up going undrafted, or do you think he's going to do enough, you know, between what he does this week and the pro day and the combine to kind of get back into good graces a little bit?
No, I think he's a guy who could go, you know, late rounds, but he's not going to get back to where he was if the, you know, off the field stuff, you know. So I think it's going to be a touch and go here, you know, throughout, you know, until we get to, you know, the draft. And even if he does everything well, you know, I think, you know, that only gets him to the seventh round just based with the off the field issues.
And another guy, you know, who the word upside definitely rings with is Gerald Poe, the D tackle out of Ole Miss. I know you guys signed him leading right up into the game. He's playing on the Texas team. Justin, talk to us a little bit about Poe, getting him to the game, and also how has he looked this week?
Well, I mean, he's a guy who, you know, the Senior Bowl, you know, had some question marks. Is he really a senior, or is he a guy who, you know, had to declare early? You know, talking with the information with the NFL, nope, they said nope, he's, you know, just because of the Prop 48 status, he still, you know, was technically a true senior. You know, so that, you know, definitely was a, you know, kind of the green light on our end up just to be able to invite him. You know, with the Senior Bowl kind of staying away from him because of that question mark and because of some, you know, other issues that they perceived, you know, he was able to kind of fall into our lap, and we were very excited to get him, and we're still excited to have him and look forward to him playing on Saturday. And he's looked dominant at times, as he would being a guy who was a top 20 you know, for his preseason grade. Just, you don't have a lot of, you know, 6'2", 330 guys who have the quickness that he has and the ability to play a nose or a defensive tackle in a 4-3 defense. So, I mean, he looked well as well as Kendrick Ellis, and good thing both of those guys are on, you know, opposite teams, or, you know, whatever team that they were on would, you know, that offensive line would be struggling, you know, all week, because those guys are the, you know, true standouts at the defensive tackle position.
Yeah, that's actually the next guy I had on my list, and that's Kendrick Ellis, small school player, not, you know, not from Ole Miss or from Iowa like the first two guys, but not small at all, 6'5", 336 pounds, a real chance to be a nose tackle. You know, I was talking about Phil Taylor with Reverend Ralph Jancini from Baylor as a potential top nose tackle. Ellis sounds like somebody that's really helped himself a lot this week. Do you think he could throw his name into that ring in terms of being maybe the top nose tackle prospect in this draft?
Well, I mean, I think so. I mean, I think when you're talking there, probably the only one better is Phil Terrell, who played at the Senior Bowl. You know, and it was a great opportunity for us to get, you know, Kendrick Ellis to bring, you know, that type of talent level down here to San Antonio. You know, so with his explosiveness and size kind of off the ball, and to be able to make plays, be able to, you know, his moves and his ability to use his hands and to be able to kind of fight off those, you know, the interior offensive linemen, is a guy really who's helped himself and you know, the ability is going to be now to see what kind of, you know, numbers that he can pull up there at the combine. You know, one high-ranking official in the NFL said, hey, if this guy can run in, you know, a pretty good 40 time and show some good, you know, as far as, you know, numbers there at the combine, this guy could be a late first-round pick, early second-round pick, you know. So he's played himself, you know, he's made money this week, and if he continues to ascend the way he has, you know, we can have our first opportunity to have a first-round pick, you know, in our game.
That would be something. I think he's definitely somebody that is someone to keep an eye on throughout this process. A lot of upside, and you know, that nose tackle position, those guys definitely don't grow on trees, and they're not easy to find. So I think that adds value right there in terms of being kind of an exclusive commodity. We talked about DJ K. You brought up my man Richard Lockett out of Fort Valley State, who's somebody who I like a lot. How about this kid Chris Matthews out of Kentucky? Big kid, 6'5", 224 pounds. I remember, you know, seeing an interview with his coach, Joker Phillips, during the season. He said this kid definitely is going to be an NFL player. How does he look this week?
Well, I mean, he looked great. I mean, he just sometimes is physically overmatched the cornerbacks and just, you know, being able to go there and, you know, get the ball. So we'll have to see what happens here on the game on Saturday. But he's a guy who's kind of, I think, helped himself. You know, the big knock on him with him was he couldn't run. I mean, he's 6'5", you know, big body type guy. But, the, you know, question mark, when he ran in the spring, he ran in the high 4.6s, you know. So there was that was the, you know, the red flag that everyone said is, hey, is he the next, you know, Mike Williams, a big body receiver? Now, talking with his trainer, they've got his, you know, 40 times down. He still, you know, hasn't received an NFL combine invite, but this is a guy who, at Kentucky's pro day, if he can run in the 4-5 range, the 4-5, you know, twos or something like that, he's a guy who could really jump up and be in the, you know, fourth, fifth round, just because you don't find a lot of 6-5 guys with that, you know, as far as his body and his body control to go up there and get the ball and kind of, you know, box out the defensive back, and those, so as those smaller defensive backs, you know, just with his size, his sheer size and athleticism. So he's a guy who's helped himself. You know, a lot of NFL teams have liked him, like to see that, hey, this is a guy who's in shape and can run and can move and can catch the football, and obviously did it in the SEC this year and had a very, you know, successful, you know, year this year, you know, putting up, you know, 900, you know, receiving yards. So he's a guy who, you know, NFL teams have you know, liked to look at here. So, again, like Kendrick Ellis, you know, where he's going to have to still put up that 40 time to be able to justify his draft status, his play on the field really hasn't, you know, hasn't let him down.
And another guy on the offensive side of the ball, Justin, that I think is really intriguing, and we're talking to Justin Van Fulpen, who's with the NFLPA game. He's part of the selection committee there. And I want to ask you about Mario Fan and part of the national champion Auburn Tigers. Headed into the year, was one of the higher-rated senior running backs. Obviously, with the way Auburn's offense went, they went a lot to the younger guys, the freshmen and the sophomore, in terms of running the ball. He's got a great body, you know, 225 pounds. He's built like an NFL back. Probably his strength would be his hands. How has he done this week, Justin, and what kind of role do you see him having at the next level?
Well, I mean, he's a guy who, you know, like you said, I mean, his grade in the spring was one of the higher type running back positions. And I think he's done well. You know, he's shown the ability to be able to get behind, you know, fullback and be an every down type back. But he's a guy who's, you know, can catch the football. And that's what he's going to have to start out his career in the NFL, is that receiving type running back. And he's shown that as far as great hands. He's also shown the ability to play on special teams, and that's something that he's going to have to do at the next level, because he's going to come in as that third down back and really kind of showed, you know, that ability. So he's a player who's kind of, you know, maybe hasn't flashed as much as some of the other prospects we talked about, you know, this week, but definitely has helped himself, based because he hadn't played, you know, a ton there at Auburn, and, you know, we'll see what he's able to do, you know, in the game.
I don't want to neglect the guys in the trenches. How about Chris Stewart from Notre Dame? I know, a really bright kid, was one of the Campbell Trophy finalists, was going to law school during the college football season, which I find simply amazing, and I'm sure anybody who's been to law school would find amazing. Out of Notre Dame, great size at 346 pounds as an interior lineman. How has he looked in terms of his mobility? I've been hearing good things about him this week.
Oh yeah, I mean he's a big man who can move and who's got some power. You know, he's not the, you know, he's not going to, you know, wow you in any one way, but he's just a, you know, really good football player who's, you know, going to be able to kind of run in the 4-5-1 area, you know, going to be able to do all the agility tests and, you know, is a guy who's probably going to, you know, get picked in that, you know, fifth to seventh type round, but a guy who could play a long time in the NFL based on his intelligence and based on his, you know, football IQ and based on his, for his sure, you know, physical, you know, gifts that he has. So he's definitely a guy who's helped himself here. You know, there was some question marks. I mean, how athletic was he? And I think he's answered those questions this week.
And two guys that kind of jumped out to me, Justin, too, when I was looking at that final roster that I think could be underrated prospects is a pair of corners. Devin Torrance from Ohio State, who I think often was overshadowed by Chekwa there as a Buckeye throughout his career in Columbus, as well as Kevin Rutland from Missouri, who I think came on strong, showing strong man-to-man cover abilities late in the season when the Tigers were playing in some of these big games, including their upset of Oklahoma. Talk a little bit about those guys and how do you think they stack up in terms of other corners? Where do you think they could end up getting drafted?
I mean, Rutland's a guy who I think has really come on strong and showed here just, you know, today's practice intercepting a pass and really as far as showed good ball skills. And also, you know, he's a guy who I think is going to run pretty well. So, I mean, he's, to me, is a guy who's rising at that cornerback position. You know, Torrance, a good size, good ability, you know, ability to play, you know, multiple positions in that secondary. I think he needs to improve his ball skills and be more of a fluid athlete. And that might be one reason why there, you know, for some talks about moving him to free safety, you know, kind of what, you know, Malcolm Jenkins did coming out of Ohio State with a corner there, big body, you know, type guy, you know, has the length and, you know, the Saints moving him to safety. That might be what we see as far as Devin Torrance. He might not be that true cornerback type position.
Okay, interesting. That's good. Some good information there, learning about a couple of the guys I like there. And, Justin, before we let you go, too, I got to ask you about the quarterbacks. You know, I'll throw one name out there to you, and then let me know if anybody else stood out. Nathan Enderle, the kid out of Idaho, 6'3", 4 inches, 240 pounds. I know he's somebody that even though he didn't go to the biggest of schools, was on the scouts' radars heading into the senior season.
Oh, definitely. I mean, he's played well, and obviously he played in the trying game and showed well, and I think he's continued to that to kind of help his stock. I think when we saw him, you know, early in the season, he was a guy who, you know, a lot of people were excited about, and then he, you know, kind of dipped basically when that Nebraska game when he threw five interceptions, and then he's kind of rised up, and this week he's continued his ascent. I think the other guy that you're looking at is Josh Portis, who, you know, who's been intriguing by NFL scouts and, you know, because of his strong arm and his athleticism. Obviously, a guy who's going to the combine, and we'll basically, you know, see what he's able to do if he's going to be able to be that athletic quarterback. He's shown that ability here in practice. We'll see if he can after the game.
And how about these coaches, Bill Bates, Jerry Glanville, Justin? Do you have to leave a seat for Elvis for this game?
I don't know, maybe.
All right, Justin, thanks a lot for joining us. I just want to remind everybody, the NFLPA game, formerly known as the Texas Virtual Nation game, this Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, CBS Sports. Justin, tell the people a little bit about the kind of growth of this game and the success and really how many guys, particularly last year's game, produced that went out to the NFL.
Well, last year, as far as we had 31 guys drafted, 110 out of 115 were either drafted or signed. You know, this is the fifth year of this game, and it's only grown. Obviously, the first 4 years were in El Paso. This year it's in San Antonio, and we're really happy to be able to have our game indoors with all this weather that's happening. So we're looking forward to, you know, a great, you know, Saturday and great game. So go to www.nflpagame.com for more information and keep updated with the game as we process through to Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, this is where you could find a guy like a Sam Shields who's, you know, played a key role for the Green Bay Packers as they make the Super Bowl, even though he went undrafted, but he kind of showed what he could do at the NFLPA game last year.
Yes, sir.
All right, Justin, thanks a lot for giving us some time. I know you had a really busy week. Hopefully the weather will get better for you guys there, although it is hard for me to feel bad for anyone considering what I've been dealing with in New York, but hopefully the weather will be better for the game and we can have a heck of a game on Saturday.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you later.
All right. That is Justin Van Fulpen, our regular on the show, always with us here on Draft Digest and a part of the NFLPA Game Selection Committee. Some good information there from Justin. You know, not surprising to hear that guys like Darrell Johnson, Koulianos, Gerald Poe, Kendrick Ellis kind of showing that upside, kind of that showing that ability. DJK is an interesting kid. I think really what he shows off the field is going to be much more important at this point. You know, he's a four-year starter for the Hawkeyes. I think people kind of know what he can do on the field. Not to say, you know, he has this tremendous upside, but, you know, he's got he's a strong upper body, good hands, you know, has the ability to kind of stretch the field a little bit as well, even though he's not a burner per se. But, you know, obviously getting that type of arrest, even though a lot of the charges were dropped, is going to set up a major red flag. Hopefully, you know, this is something the kid can learn from, and he does put his best foot forward, as we like to say here in New York, in terms of showing the scouts what he can do and his character off the field. I think Kendrick Ellis is really one of the more intriguing guys. If you do check this game out, and I recommend it, keep an eye on him, particularly if you're a fan of a team that's looking for that 3-4 type nose tackle. There are not a lot of them out there. And as Justin said, maybe Soap Taylor, the kid out of Baylor, is somebody you would have ahead of Kendrick Ellis. But after that, he can definitely make a case for himself as the number two nose tackle in this draft and definitely a high riser, somebody that, you know, I would not be surprised to see go in the second round. Nathan Enderle, a big, you know, the big kid, played in the Shrine game, had his ups and downs as a senior, didn't really perform well against Nebraska when he had that kind of big showcase-type opportunity. But it was a tough spot. Nebraska native, you know, against basically the top pass defense in the country, great pass rush. So, you know, I don't know if you want to hold that, you know, kind of mediocre performance, let's say, against him too much. Some guys that he threw out there, Justin Portis, another quarterback, JT Thomas out of West Virginia, Robert Davis, our man Ricardo Lockett. You can check out the podcast that we did with him from Fort Valley State, real speedster, decent size as well. So the NFLPA game, a lot of good stuff there on Saturday. Make sure to check that out, NFLPAgame.com. Go to the Twitter page Saturday at 2 o'clock. You're listening to NFL Draft Bibles Draft Digest Show. I'm your host, Daniel Moglione. We got a couple of minutes left here, and I want to bounce back to the Senior Bowl, if you guys don't mind. We were hoping to get our founder, Rick Saratel, on today, but he's running around doing a lot of stuff. But I wanted to touch on a couple of the guys who helped themselves and, you know, movers, the shakers, the money makers, and the straight-up fakers from the Senior Bowl. I know we touched upon a lot of these guys with the Reverend Ralph Mancina, but I think we should also point out a couple of other guys, like a Leonard Hankerson out of Miami, who, you know, really did well in practice. I know last week Joe Everett was telling us he was one of the only guys that was doing things against Kendrick Burney, who had a solid week, and Hankerson followed up with another big game, 100 yards receiving, scored a touchdown. So the Miami receiver, I don't think he's going to vault himself into the first round, but maybe he solidified himself as a top senior wide receiver, a kid that I like a lot, Kendall Hunter out of Oklahoma State. We talked about him last week. You know, he doesn't have necessarily that feature back upside that he's going to be a 20, 25 carry guy week in and week out, but I think he showed enough in terms of his quickness that he could be a second or third round pick. In terms of being a part of a committee at the next level, Sam Acho, a lot of bright kids here, too, a lot of Campbell Trophy kids we're talking about. He's another Campbell Trophy kid that we got a chance to speak to. So if you go to our player podcast page, you can listen to an interview that I did along with Lloyd Ribner here in New York when he was in there for the Campbell Trophy Award, which is the academic Heisman, as well as an interview done with him last week at the Senior Bowl. A little undersized kid, but had a strong performance in the game, has ability as a pass rusher. You know, Texas seems like year in and year out, they produce a pass rusher that gets drafted, and he's basically the next in line there. Some kind of movers and shakers, you know, not necessarily guys that really vaulted themselves up to the top of the list, but that showed enough, you know what I mean? That showed something, that showed glimpses, like a Derek Locke, who basically, you know, is an undersized kid, only 5'8", very light, has suffered through injuries during his career at Kentucky, but a real all-purpose talent. you know, very explosive, good burst and quickness, can catch the ball out of the backfield, can maybe contribute in special teams. A Charles Clay out of Tulsa, a fullback, H-back type guy, real intriguing athlete. You know, but obviously, you know, we know teams are very hesitant to use a pick on a fullback, any pick basically. You know, it's always single digits every year. Some years it's only two or three guys. But, you know, depending on what kind of offensive system teams run, he's an intriguing talent. A couple of receivers that showed well were Vincent Brown out of San Diego State, who I think did the right thing by coming back for his senior season, did a good job running routes. somebody we talked about last week who could be an intriguing player is Dane Sonsenbacher out of Ohio State, a possession slot type guy who's a middle round guy, maybe not spectacular, but will be a solid, reliable type receiver. That's basically what he did for Terrell Pryor at the college level last year. And folks, you're listening to the NFL Draft Bible's Draft Digest show. For more of the movers and shakers, go to NFLDraftBible.com. Check it out. I'm your host, Daniel Moguillon. Hopefully you can enjoy the game this Saturday. Hopefully wherever you are, the weather is getting a little better. And hopefully we look forward to talking to you again next Thursday.